Okay, good morning. As was just mentioned, we're talking about, first of all, the today's share sponsor, Lila Nishmas Leib Ben Yeruchim, for the Yard Site and Neshama Shav and Aliyah. There are a number of events that are taking place this morning on the legal holiday here in Passaic. JFS, as was just mentioned, and Count Me In is also having an event this morning. So the question was if we should have the shiur this morning, and it was asked to Rabbi Sachs, and Rabbi Sachs said very strongly that the shiur should continue. Because of that, we are having the shiur this morning, and we're going to continue the regular Lama Tes Malachos, but by no means do we mean to say that, you know, that we don't, those great organizations, they definitely need our financial support and our moral support, definitely, but Bez Hashem, you know, we have the schus to learn Tuesday morning, so the shiur will go on, and we'll continue with the Lama Tes Malachos. So last week, you know, we finished the Halachos of Bishul. It was voted upon to continue the Lama Tes Malachos. There are still a few of the Lama Tes Malachos that I feel are very nogea, very important. Some I may want to wait, perhaps, if we have the schus to continue after Pesach, to continue in the summer when bugs are more around, as far as tzad and sheichit and things like that. But for now, today we're going to start the Malacha of Makah B'Patish. So Makah B'Patish, the literal translation of Makah B'Patish is hitting with a hammer. And now, Patish is a hammer, and Makah means to hit. And as we've said many, many times, all the Malachos, the Lama Tes Malachos, the 39 Malachos, are decided based on what was done in the Mishkan. So in the Mishkan, when they were making the krushim, the planks, and when making the gold and the silver kalim, so the final blow, that's the final touch to these kalim, to these utensils, to many of the utensils, was the final hit, was hit with a hammer, the Makah B'Patish. So basically what Makah B'Patish means practically for us is to put the final touch on any article. It encompasses any act of finishing or perhaps improving. We'll have to see many examples, but that is basically, in, you know, the literal translation of Makah B'Patish, to hit with a hammer, but it includes all types of final blows that completes or perfects or makes usable even a minor act to a utensil. The Gemara's example, just to understand, the Gemara's example is that if you have a garment that was totally made, it was totally perfectly made, the sleeves, everything was made, but all the person did was they were paiseach beis hatzaver. They opened up a hole for the neck. Of course, even if the garment is totally made, but there's no hole to put the head, to put the neck through, so that is not usable without it. Someone just opens up that hole, then besides perhaps the kireya issues, but that is Makah B'Patish, because that puts on the final touch to an article. So that is the issa d'oraisa of Makah B'Patish. So let's give many, many examples. One example we already gave as far as opening up the neck, but it means basically making an article usable. One example the Pais can tell us is, let's say you have a book. A lot of times you'll open up a book, whether it's your book or somebody else's book or library book, and you'll realize that two of the pages are stuck together. Now, if they're stuck together from the time when it was printed, meaning it had never been separated, it happens, you know, there's some type of messed up in the factory when it was published, and it's stuck together from the beginning, then if you rip those pages, you separate those pages, so then those pages that were stuck inside were not readable, it was not usable before you did that, even if it's not your book, but you were the one who made it usable because you separated those pages on Shabbos. That is Makah B'Patish. Could also be a problem of Mechatech or Kareya, perhaps, but that is a problem of Makah B'Patish. And if it got stuck afterwards, a lot of times you'll have a bencher or some type of book that was stuck with food or something sticky that it stuck afterwards, that is an external problem. We're going to see soon that removing external problems, outside problems from the kli or from the article itself, that is not a problem on Shabbos. We'll get to that separately. But that, if it was from printing time already, that is another example of perfecting and making an article usable. That is also Makah B'Patish. And that, you know, it happens in 1 second. You're reading the book and you just separate it. So that, you have to be careful. Also, perfecting or improving a usable article. Now, a lot of people don't realize this, and until I learned these halachos, I also didn't realize this. But the halacha is clearly that Makah B'Patish is forbidden even if the article was usable beforehand. I mean, the example we gave before with the garment without the hole for the head, that wasn't even usable before. For sure, that's Makah B'Patish. But it's possible to be over on Makah B'Patish even if the article, even if the kli was usable before. Just you added to it, you perfected it, you improved it, you made it totally usable. Even on you improved it some way, even though it was really usable before, that can still be makah b'patish. The Gemara's example is if you have a table, and that table is never sold unless it has some type of engraving on the side. So if you make the engraving on the side of the table on Shabbos, that is makah b'patish. Of course, the table was usable beforehand, but you improved it some way, you perfected it in some way, that is also makah b'patish. For example, Shmir Shabbos Kuchasa says you're not allowed to oil a squeaky door. The squeaky door is totally usable beforehand. Of course, the door is fine without it, but you improved it some way besides the issues of schita, perhaps. But if you oil a squeaky door, that is also makah b'patish. Okay, we'll get to that. We're going to get to that right now. Let's say you have a... Okay, right, yeah. So let's say even by the... Okay, well, we're going to get to many examples. Hold on one second. You can't... Let's say you have by a tailor, they have like the chalk marks on the garment. You're not allowed to rub that off on Shabbos from a new garment. If they have the chalk marks where they wanted to make the cuffs or whatever it was, the pleats, whatever they were making. So if you rub that off, that's a defect in the garment itself. Of course, the garment was wearable before, but still, you perfected it. You removed a problem that was in the garment itself. That is not allowed. You can't open the factory stitching from the pockets or from in the back, right? That was a defect in the garment itself. Again, like we said before, an external problem to remove is okay. We'll see about that later. But all the stitching, a lot of places can say, the stitching in the pocket is not allowed to be ripped open on Shabbos. Another example, let's save shaitels for separately. We'll get to shaitels shortly. Another halacha, which I'm sure you all know, that you're not allowed to perfume a garment on Shabbos. If you have a garment or shoes or furniture or carpet or a curtain, you're not allowed to spray some type of nice smelling spray into the garment. Of course, the garment or the kli, the shoe, whatever it was usable beforehand, but you made something, you perfected it, you made it better, that is also included in Tikkun Mana. You are fixing the object. I don't mean fixing. I didn't mean to say the word fixing. We'll get to fixing things shortly, but you improved it some way. This does not apply to foods. It doesn't apply to food. So therefore, if you want to put something into a food to make it smell better, that is allowed. That's not a problem as far as food. We'll talk more about food later. But to put some type of deodorant or some type of spray in a garment or in another type of article, that is not allowed on Shabbos. A person is allowed to use deodorant on their body, and then if it happens to get onto their clothes, that is not a problem. Since a person put it directly on their body, on Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to for other reasons. But as far as on Shabbos, you're allowed to put it on your body, even though it happens to get onto the clothes and it makes the clothes smell better, but you didn't deliberately put it on the clothes. The Mishnah Berurah says that, so therefore, that is not a problem. You're also allowed to put air fresheners into the air. Air freshener into the air, whether it's in the bathroom or somewhere else, that is allowed. You're just not allowed to put it into a garment, a curtain or a carpet or something like that. If a toilet has a perfume dispenser, so then you can't flush. Right, that you should make sure those things are not there in the toilet before. We discussed, if you remember, by the halachos of tzoveya, we're discussing tzoveya, coloring things. So as far as if a cleanser in the toilet that it makes the water blue, that was a machlokas. We said preferably to remove it before Shabbos. But as far as smelling, that is not allowed, even though it's water. And we just said a moment ago that into food is not a problem. That's only if the food or the drink is being used as a food or a drink. If it happens to be water, but it's in the toilets, obviously that's not considered like a food or a drink anymore as far as these halachos, and that is not allowed to be done on Shabbos. You can't fold. This is a halacha that I'm sure many of you know. You shouldn't. The Shulchan Aruch says preferably you should not fold a garment onto the pleats on Shabbos. You're allowed to just drape it over a hanger or drape it over a chair, and if it happens to go and to fall into the pleats, that's not a problem. But that's considered also, it's a machlekes actually, but we should be machmir to say that you shouldn't put it on the pleats. That is also like you're perfecting, you're improving the article of clothing. That should also not be done, even if you're not making new pleats. But just to fold it back on those pleats to keep it that way, that also should preferably not be done on Shabbos. So we just gave a whole bunch of examples of things that were usable without what you did. They were definitely usable without it, but since you perfected it, you improved it, that is included in makah b'patish. Obviously, we can't go through every single example, but you'll see many, many times that you'll be improving something that could be included in makah b'patish. That's as far as perfecting or improving. Also creating or assembling a utensil. It wasn't a utensil before, and you're creating it, you're putting two things together, or even before two things together, but stam, you're creating or assembling a utensil, that is also not allowed on Shabbos. Again, we'll start with the Gemara's example. The Gemara's example is taking a piece of wood and forming it into a toothpick. You have a toothpick to pick something between your teeth, so nowadays it's easy, right? We're spoiled and we just buy a box of 100 toothpicks. But then they had to take a piece of wood and they made it, they formed it into a toothpick. Maybe they made it sharp at the end or cut, you know, to size, but that is not allowed. That's the Gemara's example of creating a utensil to form wood into a toothpick. Yeah. Okay, we're gonna discuss that. I think cup. We're gonna discuss those things. Hold on 1 second. If I don't answer your question, you'll ask it again. So making wood into a toothpick, making clay into a cup. Okay, I don't think we're going to do that on Shabbos. But not only creating a utensil, but also combining two things into one to make something into it. The typical example, the Mishnah Berurah's example, and what many places can give is that you can't put new shoelaces into a shoe, right? I was discussing with my son this morning, if he learned, he's learning Lama Tess Melachos, so he learned last year, he's 6 years old, so he had a book of the Lama Tess Melachos, so every Lama Tess Melachos has one picture. So I looked this morning, just about a half hour ago, what is the picture from Akiva Patish? And there's a picture of a little boy putting new shoelaces into a shoe. So that is an example of Makaba Patish. You have new shoes and you put new shoelaces into the shoe for the first time. You now created a utensil. Was the shoe wearable before without it? Maybe yes, maybe no. It's irrelevant. Since you put the new shoelaces into the shoe, that is Makaba Patish on Shabbos. This is true, the place can tell us, of Shlomo Zalman Orbach and others, that even if it's an old pair of shoes, but this is new shoelaces for this shoe, or vice versa, that it's an old pair of shoelaces, but you're putting into this shoe for the first time, that is also not allowed. The only time it would be allowed, which we'll see more about, is if it's an old pair of shoelaces, and it's an old shoe, and it just fell out or something, and now you're putting it back. That is not a problem on Shabbos. But completing an article, putting two things together, new shoelaces into a shoe, that is not allowed on Shabbos. The Gemara's example is putting feathers into a pillow. Right? Again, nowadays you just buy a pillow and that's it. It's finished already. But in those days they had to put it together. So they had a whole bunch of feathers. Maybe after they shechted a chicken, they took out the feathers and they stuffed it into a pillow. That is putting two things together to make an article, to make something, to make a utensil. That is not allowed on Shabbos. Someone just had a question? No. Attaching a new clasp to a necklace. If it came off on Shabbos, you're allowed to put it back. But if to put a new clasp, you know, if you have some type of necklace and then you buy something and you pick it up from the store on Friday afternoon with a person with your daughter's name on it or something, and you want to put it together, that has to be done before Shabbos. It can't be put together on Shabbos because now you're making a new utensil.
Justin, how about if you have I have different pendants and I have like one chain. Can I like switch pendants?
Yeah, so that's allowed. You're allowed to switch it. Even if you switch it on Shabbos, that's not a problem. It's been there before. It's not a new necklace. It's not a new pendant. But a new one is not allowed. A new one is not allowed.
What about all like the kids' games, toys, things like that they put together, building things?
So that we have to discuss, Bez Hashem, when we get to Bona. We'll discuss clicks and Lego and things like that. That would be more in the realm of the Melacha of Baina, of building on Shabbos. We'll discuss that. We could talk about it afterwards, but we're going to discuss that in the Shir. Makaba Patish, it's probably not. There's a big discussion amongst the Rishonim already. Every time you do Baina, you should also be Makaba Patish. And many, many times that you over on Makaba Patish, it could also be Baina. So there are some Rishonim that say, yeah, you chayiv too. Mechayiv for two averus, or in the times of the Beis Hamikdash, a person would have to bring two carbon chatas. Those that say no, it has to be one or the other. The question is, how do we decide which one's what? It's a big, big discussion that's not for now, but that is more in the realm of Baina. Bez Hashem, when we get to Baina, we'll discuss that. We could discuss at 10 o'clock. Exceptions. If it's something like you just asked by the necklace, a very good question. If it's generally separated again after being used, then that's not considered a creation of a new utensil, even if you're putting it there for the first time on Shabbos. But if it's the normal way of usage is to remove it right afterwards, then that's not a problem. So now that I'm thinking about it, maybe if you have this pendant that it's a constantly removed and you put many different ones, then perhaps even if you put it new for the first time on Shabbos, maybe that would not be a problem. If that's just the normal way to remove it, I don't know much about necklaces. Is that considered normal that you have types of necklaces that it's just you constantly change it?
What about like watches with the different bands, like watches?
Yeah, people change bands constantly.
There are certain watches that come like that. They're made. They come with like different colored bands, faces.
Maybe do you go after watches in general, or do you go after this one specifically? I'm not sure. I'd have to think about that. As far as the necklace and the watches, I'm not a cool guy, so I don't know much about the watches, and I'm a man, so I don't know much about the necklaces. But I'd have to think about that, look about it more. But the example, what I was thinking of, which a place can talk about, is a belt. You're allowed to put a belt in a pair of pants or a skirt on Shabbos because that is normal to be removed. It's removed, whether it's removed on Shabbos or after Shabbos, but it's normal to take it in and take it out. But a belt in a raincoat or some type of coat that, or regular coat that stays there, or you know better than me, if you have some type of outfit that it has like a special type of belt and you're putting it there in this outfit, in this skirt, and it plans on staying there, you're not going to wear this belt with other outfits. It comes together basically and you just have to put it together. So it plans on staying there, you're going to leave it there for a very long time. So that is not allowed to be put on Shabbos for the first time, because now you are completing this article, you're putting together this skirt, this outfit with the belt, that is not allowed on Shabbos. So it's doing a raincoat or some type of belt that stays there for a long time. If it fell out on Shabbos, this happens with my kids all the time, and their Shabbos coats, you know, they play with the belt and it comes out, you're allowed to put it back, even on Shabbos. But to put it there for the first time, that is not allowed, because it usually stays there. Yeah.
Sometimes, like, you buy your kids' shoes and they'll have like pads in them, or you bought them new Freentif and they didn't think they needed pads and then they did.
Right, I hear. Exactly. That's probably not allowed to be done because the pads are supposed to stay there. You know, to make it fit better, those usually stay there. Yes, sometimes they fall out, but generally that is there to stay. I would imagine. That's not allowed.
But if it falls out,
But if it falls out. Then it will be allowed. The same idea. If it fell out on Shabbos, or if it fell out before Shabbos. But if it was there from before and then it fell out, you could put it back.
But if they're wearing,
you're sticking it in. Those time, you know, those pads specifically, you know, if I understand what you're talking about, those really stick. That could be a problem of teifer. That's a different halacha, which we discussed already.
But if it's not to stick,
if it's just you're putting it in the back by the heel, and yeah, if it's not for the first time, then it'll be allowed. If it's for the first time and it usually stays there for good, then it's not allowed. If it's the type that doesn't stick, then it could be it's the type that you just, orthotics or whatever you call it, like for some people who need that, then it's just normal to put in and out, then that's not a problem. You have to know what we're dealing with. If it's something that stays there, that's normal to stay there for a long time, and you're putting it there for the first time, then it's a problem. And besides the problems of teifer.
But if it's something like for an adult shoe that you would transfer...
That it's transfer and it's normal to transfer, then it's not a problem. Then it's just like a belt, that you're allowed to put a belt even on Shabbos, even for the first time, a standard belt. Inflating balls or inflating wheels. So the place can tell us that you can't do that also for the first time. If you want to inflate, like a beach ball, not that you'd be going to the beach necessarily, but some type of ball that you want to blow up for the first time, that is not allowed, that should not be done on Shabbos. If it was... We'll talk about balloons in a second, but as far as inflating a ball or a wheel, if it's for the first time, then it should not be done. If it was once blown up before, and you know how it is with the kids, play with it, the air goes out, and then you want to blow it up again, so that is a machlekes. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says you're allowed to do that on Shabbos. He says even though you're putting in new air, of course the air that you put in the second time is not the same air, but he says no, it's all... Since all the air is connected and it's all considered one, so he says that is not allowed. That is allowed to be done on Shabbos. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says it's not a problem. The Minchas Yitzchak says it is a problem of tikkun mona. You're not allowed even for the second time to inflate a ball. Rabbi Yashiv says it's uvdin d'chol, so it also should not be done. The kids definitely you would be allowed. I would say you're allowed to let them do it. If Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says even adults are allowed to do it for the second time, but to inflate a ball, you buy a ball on Friday afternoon, you didn't get a chance to inflate it before Shabbos for the first time, it should definitely not be done on Shabbos. As far as a balloon, I spent a lot of time just on balloons, just doing all the research. Of course, to tie a balloon on Shabbos is not allowed. That, of course. As far as Hashem, if we have this course of learning the Malach of Kosher, we'll discuss as far as tying. Of course, you can't tie a balloon on Shabbos. But what about blowing up a balloon? And then it's fun, you leave go, and it flies around the room. Or for whatever reason, you want to blow up a balloon without tying it. So for there, I saw many contradictions. There are those that say that you're not allowed to because you may come to tie it. And we'll see, Be'ez Hashem, even by the Malach of Makab Patash and Baina, there's such a thing as you may come to do something else. So there are those that say you're not allowed to blow up a balloon because you may come to tie it. So that's, first of all, that's Obin the Rabbanon, you would not be allowed to blow up a balloon because you may come to tie it. But even besides that, there are those that say that that itself is considered Makab Patash. You are now forming a ball. You're forming a balloon. So I know in, you know, Rav Simcha Ben Kohn has a number of English Svarim. So in the Shabbos home, he says you're not allowed to. In the Sefer Children in Halacha, he says you are allowed to. Even for adults, he says you are allowed to. I saw in Rabbi Ribiat Sefer, in Makab HaPatish, he says you're not allowed to. You're not allowed to blow a balloon, and he says a balloon is even muksa. But when I was doing the Halachas of Kesher, so I saw in Rabbi Ribiat Sefer, he says by Malach of Kesher, he says you're allowed to blow a balloon as long as you don't tie it. So I saw contradictions in Rabbi Simcha Ben Kohn, I saw contradictions in Rabbi Ribiat. Obviously, you could tell that there's what to rely on to do it. If you want to have the kids do it, I guess you can't stop them for sure. But an adult should preferably not blow a balloon on Shabbos. I have it somewhere. I don't see it over here right now. But there are those that say when you're chewing gum, you should not blow a bubble on Shabbos. Again, the kids, you don't have to stop. But as far as blowing a bubble, and if you can't control yourself when you're chewing gum to automatically blow bubbles, so maybe that means we shouldn't blow gum at all. We shouldn't chew gum on Shabbos at all. If we chew gum in general.
So
but
pops it, is that
popping it, I don't, like, you know, quite possibly is not a problem. The pop it maybe is not a problem. Maybe that's a seiser if you consider that baina, but I don't think that popping it is a problem. The question is blowing the bubble. So there are those that say, I'm sure you'll find Paiskim that say it's not a problem, but I did see somewhere, I don't remember where offhand because I can't see in my notes right now, but that you should not be blowing bubbles on Shabbos. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says,
blowing bubbles like with a wand?
That's for sure that those that say, but even with gum, for sure, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says to soap bubbles. He says you don't have to stop the children, but he says you should not blow bubbles. You know, like you just said, you know, you take from that little jar and like there are spills all over the place, and you pick it out and they blow the bubbles. That also adults should not be doing that on Shabbos. They are, you're making bubbles. You're forming something. Besides the Meilid issues, but the Neilad issues, but as far as the Makab HaPatash, that could also be. Probably most of these examples will be only Midrabanan, but still, that would not be allowed. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says you're not allowed to make a paper boat, and I would imagine also a paper airplane or a paper fan on Shabbos. I just told that to my kids this morning, so that's discussing Makab HaPatash, and that is, you know, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says that should not be done. You are forming something on Shabbos that, even if that's temporary, but that needs mamish shaping, so over there we don't give such a heter. Yeah.
I folded napkins.
Oh, so very good. We're going to get to that in two lines. Hold on 1 second. Very good. Assembling a fruit cup, which may touch upon what you asked before. The those paiskin that say that, I know Rav Simcha Ben Kohn in the Shabbos Homi talks about this, to assemble a fruit cup. You know, you have the stem and then you have the cup itself, so you want to serve some type of fruit cup, you know, for an appetizer on Shabbos. So you take it out of the package and you put it together on Shabbos. There are those that say that that's not allowed. You are now forming a utensil on Shabbos. And that could be Makab HaPatash. There are those that say that over there it's not a problem, and they say because that it's not strong, and combined with the fact that it's not strong and that it's discarded afterwards, it's thrown out. So then there are those that say perhaps that would be permitted. That doesn't help for the airplane, the paper airplane that's thrown out, because that's mamish forming. So Shlomo Zalman Auerbach wouldn't let that. But here it's just taking two things that are already made before and just combining them into one. So since it's not very tight, it's very weak, and it's discarded afterwards, there are those that say that will be allowed. What he says to do preferably is to put it together before Shabbos, and then you can even separate it before Shabbos. But since when you're putting it back on Shabbos, you're not putting it back for the first time. It was already formed once before before Shabbos, so then we say that would not be a problem.
But if it's not disposable, is that a
problem? So if it's not disposable, that
case, she's done it.
What was your case exactly?
Like, you've done it before. Like a three-tier thing.
Okay.
And like a cake plate. So
okay, if it's new for the first time, I would say that, you know, that should not be allowed. If it is not for the first time, I would think for sure that would be permitted. We're going to see another heter coming up, what's called Derech Tashmisha, which is something just the normal way to do, and you put it together, you take it out, you put it together, you take it apart, put it together, take it apart, then that's not a problem, Makab HaPatash. That's just the normal way of use.
As long as it wasn't the first time, it's okay?
When something is not the first time, then it's much more lenient. We say it's much more lenient, especially if it's something that's normal to, if something that's not considered broken when it's separate. We're going to talk about broken things in a moment, but when something is not broken, it's just normal to put together and take apart, put together and take apart. So there we say that's not a problem of makah b'patish, unless you're doing it for the first time. Unless you're doing it for the first time. But if it's not for the first time, and it's something that's normal to put together and take apart, like a belt, like your example with this cake, a leaf on the table, we have to discuss, but that's also going to be mutter, because the same idea, that it's just normal to put together and take apart, put together and take apart, that the place can say that's not considered makah b'patish, that's just what we call derech tashmisho, and that's not a problem. So it seems like your example would not be a problem. Yeah.
Can I just ask you back to the balloons for a second? To blow a balloon, would it have to have been blown up before Shabbos?
No, I'm talking about, if it's, I'm talking about blowing a balloon on Shabbos. The kids, you don't have to stop. The kids, you don't have to stop.
But that doesn't have to have been once before.
Right, right. The kids, you don't have to stop.
So opening up a disposable tablecloth, that's an example of derech tashmisho?
So a disposable, if you're opening it up for the first time, that would not necessarily be. Now, if you're opening it up, if you're just unfolding, that's not considered a problem. Besides, let's say if they're connected on the side, we're talking about, I think, once by garbage bags. But if opening up a tablecloth, that's not a problem. Because that you didn't create anything. You just, something was folded up, like a chair or a table, and you're just opening it, a pack and play, a playpen, or this tablecloth, you're just opening it up and unfolding it, that you didn't do anything substantial, that we say that that's not permitted. That's permitted on Shabbos. That's not a problem.
What was with the garbage bag?
We talk about that. We'll talk about that afterwards. Good, but remind me. Detaching tissues from each other. A lot of times the tissues are connected in the box, or fresh wipes, if you use fresh wipes in Shabbos. So then, you know, a lot of times they're connected, you'll see. So besides perhaps the issue of mechatech, but if they're connected and now you tear them apart from each other, so then that should be avoided on Shabbos, definitely. If you know the company, so try to buy the tissues that you know are separated from before. Or, you know, like they do in the olden days, before they had the tissues, they just, you know, they took the toilet paper and they ripped it into many pieces before Shabbos. That would be the best.
If you go to someone's house and all they have is that, and you pull it and you see that it's connected, are you better off ripping it in the middle of the tissue?
That's a good question. If we discuss the malacha of mechatech, we'll have to discuss that. But basically, if it's tissues that's really connected, not just like connected by mistake, but if it's really connected, then the best, there are a few options to do, but yeah, one way out that the place can tell us is to tear it not by the lines, because of mechatech issues, to tear it not by the lines. If you could tear it the way they bring it, I think there's even in Rabbi Ribi I'd say there's a picture, if you could tear it not with the normal way with your fingers, but to tear it with like your wrists, to tear it like that, if it's possible to do such a thing, then that'll be even better, because then that's with the shinui, so that just adds to the way out, and it's covered abrias, and it's only the rabbanon perhaps, and it's davashen mischaven perhaps. So that's to add to the heter. If you could tear it with the shinui, if you can't tear it with the shinui, then fine. But yeah, you would that is a way out to tear it not by the lines where they made, but in the middle of the tissues, in the middle of the toilet paper. Folding napkins, right? So like you asked before, as far as folding napkins, so the place can tell us that you should not fold the napkins into an intricate pattern, or to create, you know, a flower or a hat with the napkins, or any type of meaningful shape. To fold it into a half or into a triangle. So we were discussing the malachas of kaisiv and meichik, that a triangle really is not a meaningful shape. To us, it's a meaningful shape because we learned trigonometry in high school. But really, a triangle is not a meaningful shape. But to put it into a shape of a flower or a hat, that is should not be done. Now, here's where I wrote about the bubble gum. Fine. You don't have to stop the children. Also, back to the balloons. Rav Moshe Feinstein is sounds like back to the balloons. I'm sorry. That he says seems like you're allowed, according to him, to allow to blow a balloon, but not if it's a balloon in the shape of a dog. You know, you have some type of besides like these people that know how to form it into a dog. But even if it's a balloon when it's deflated, and if it's automatically when you just blow it up, it automatically goes into the shape of a dog. That Rav Moshe seems to say that's not allowed. Although I saw this morning that the Debrett Zina says that is allowed, even in the shape of a balloon, even in the shape of a dog or something. So that. Should another reason perhaps to avoid controversial financing if it's a balloon in a special shape. Fine. To make a raincoat out of a large garbage bag, you know, a lot of people, if they're stuck without a raincoat, so they'll take a garbage bag and they'll make a hole in it and they'll put, you know, their hands through to make a raincoat, just, you know, for that also should not be done on Shabbos. You are now taking a garbage bag and you are creating, besides perhaps the kareah issues, but maybe that's not a problem, but as far as makah b'patish, you're creating something on Shabbos, even though it's a great idea of during the week, but that should not be done on Shabbos. Yeah.
Why wouldn't that be an example of something that's disposable and you're getting rid of it the same way we said with the...
But that's because you are creating it new for the first time. Until now, even though it was something before, but it was something else before. It was a garbage bag before. Now you are creating a raincoat for the first time on Shabbos, so that we don't give such a
head. Would you not be able to wrap like a plastic tablecloth around
yourself? No, that you could do, because you're not doing anything. That's similar, you know, you're just opening up a tablecloth, you're just wrapping around yourself. That's not a problem. Perhaps that's not considered wearing, perhaps that's considered carrying, you know, but if you have an Erev and use the Erev, then fine. But as far as I'm using that as a raincoat, that doesn't mean that I made it into a raincoat. That's not a problem.
Also, napkins, are you talking about paper and cloth?
Yeah, either one. I would think either one. Because like, so, yeah, you're making... Sorry?
You're saying that you're making it.
Because you're making it, right. When we discussed the cups, the fruit cups, there you were just... You didn't make it. It was two things that were already made from before, and you just put it together. Here, you're forming it and you're shaping it into something that, you know, that is different. That is more strict. Question?
I was going to say, like the kosher connection bags on the hats. That would be fine.
Kosher connection bags.
Those plastic bags people put on their hats.
Right. Crazy. Yeah. So that's not a problem. Right. That's not a problem. Assuming, I would imagine that's not considered wearing. That doesn't become an article of clothing. I would imagine. You have to look into that. But I'm saying, but here, like she wants to know, like, not just wrapping it around your shoulders, but really using it as, you know, another covering. Would that be considered, you know, now an article of clothing? But okay, if you use the Erev, then, you know, for sure it's not a problem. But I would imagine if you're in a place where there's no Erev, I would think that that's not. I would have to look into that again. Fine. All now, what we're talking about now is something, nothing was broken, but I'm assembling something, I'm creating something, I'm shaping something. Those were the examples we're talking about till now. As far as repairing or reassembling a broken utensil, if something broke before Shabbos, on Shabbos, we'll get to the halachas of Muktzah. We'll just give a quick review in regards to the halachas of Muktzah in a few minutes. But as far as repairing or reassembling a broken utensil, so the halacha is like this. If the article was broken, even if it was broken before Shabbos, on Shabbos, doesn't make a difference. But if the article was broken and it requires fixing, but the article wasn't usable at all. It was in a state that once, now that it was broken, it wasn't able to be used whatsoever, then fixing it on Shabbos is also midderaisa. Also by Torah law, to fix it on Shabbos, if it wasn't usable at all, then it's also midderaisa to fix. If it was somewhat functional, was considered broken, but it was somewhat functional. So then to repair it is only aser midrabanan. Of course, you're not allowed to do it even if it's midrabanan. But that is only aser midrabanan to fix it if it was somewhat functional. The Gemara's example is a knife. If you have a knife that's bent out of shape, or the knife has become not sharp, so then the Gemara says the following. If it was bent out of shape that the knife was totally not usable, or is bent out of shape so badly that it totally was not usable, so if you sharpen it, or if you straighten it on Shabbos or Yontif, then that is Aser Mideraisa. If the knife was somewhat usable and somewhat functional as far as how much it was bent, as far as how dull it was, and then you repair it to make it better, so then that is only Aser Mideraisa if it was somewhat functional. Many places can say, this is a huge discussion, and I've listened to Shiurim about this, and the following. Many places can discuss, I think the Shulchan Aruch himself discusses it, the Mishnah Berurah, let's say a watch stopped on Shabbos. A watch stopped on Shabbos. You have one, like a face watch, not a digital one, a face watch, and you want to adjust the time on Shabbos. So there's tremendous discussions if that's considered Makah B'Patash. What question is, was that considered broken? Meaning a lot of times, you know, if you have like that button on the side of the watch, if it's pulled out, so if it's pulled out, then it stops. So now it stopped and it's at the wrong time. Am I allowed to push it back, you know, change it to the right time and push it back in? So it really wasn't broken. It wasn't broken exactly. It was just by mistake. The button had been pulled out. So if I adjust it to the correct time and then I push it back in, is that considered Makah B'Patash or not? That's a big discussion in the Paiskim, because now I'm making it usable. The question is, what will be the issue? If it's not a problem with Makah B'Patash, then there's nothing, if there's nothing electrical over there, then you know, perhaps it wouldn't be a problem. There are those that say that that's Aser Midaraisa. There are those that say that that's permitted, that's considered just a normal adjustment. Rabbi Yashiv and Rabbi Zalman Orbach seem to say that this is just considered a normal adjustment and you're allowed to adjust the watch on Shabbos. I think the general custom is to be machmir, because there are those that say that that's not allowed, especially if it had, you know, if it was some type of broken and like the battery, you know, the battery slowed down and then you have to switch it. So then, not to switch the battery, but you know, it stops and then, you know, it got some life again. You want to put it back for sure. I would tell you the best way is, someone was actually just telling me last Shabbos, that could be a problem of hachana, of preparing for after Shabbos, because for Shabbos itself, you know, you could figure out the time. But then, you know, for long term, so you're really preparing it for after Shabbos, changing the clock on Shabbos. Definitely the best would be to not change any watches on Shabbos. If you have a broom and the bottom part of the broom came off, so then attaching a handle to the broom is usur. There are those that say that's usur even mederaisa to fix, even though technically you could get on your hands and knees and use the broom part by itself, but they consider that not usable whatsoever. And if a person would tighten, you know, that the stick to the broom part on Shabbos, that is not allowed, and perhaps that's even usur mederaisa. The handle of a pot. If you have a handle of a pot and the handle came off to connect it back to the pot, that is also usur, quite possibly mederaisa, to connect that back on Shabbos.
I have a question. I have like kitchen scissors,
yeah.
And they like come apart.
Right. So those kitchen scissors, my chicken scissors, that happens to my chicken scissors as well. If that came apart, you can't.
They
can't
come
imagine.
Apart on purpose.
They call it what,
really?
Yeah.
Oh, to clean. Okay, so if that's considered the normal usage, I never realized that was on purpose.
Yeah,
because it didn't happen the first couple years we had this chicken scissors. Now it happens all the time.
They just
if they're supposed to come apart, so then quite possibly that's considered just derech tashmisho, and then, you know, that's not a problem. Then I would imagine that's just the normal way to put it together and reassemble it. To do it for the first time would not be allowed on Shabbos, but obviously I imagine that's not what you're asking about. If it came apart and you want to put it back, if that's considered derech tashmisho, that's the normal way to take it apart and put it back together, then I would imagine it's not a problem. So like they also say, as far as a salt shaker, you realize that there's no salt and you want the salt, you know, on Shabbos, so you're allowed to unscrew the top and put in salt and put it back. That's derech tashmisho, even though it's only once in a while, but that's just considered the normal usage to uncover it and put it back. Any question?
What if you have like say with the broom handle or with the pot, or with the thing of the pot, and it often falls off and it just like becomes general.
So that's where we're going. So we're gonna get. So that's going to be not permitted. It's not going to be allowed. But let me get to that in the next thing I was going to get to. Something that's only midrabanan, and then I'll get back to your question. But the answer is it's not going to be allowed. Something that's only also midrabanan, which we said a few minutes ago, that if something was somewhat functional when it was broken, then it's only also midrabanan to fix. Which of course you're not allowed to fix it on Shabbos if it's also midrabanan. But something that's only also midrabanan to fix, because it was somewhat functional before, there we have a few leniencies. And one of the leniencies is if something requires very, very little effort. If something requires very little effort, you just put it right back, then the place can say that that's not a problem to fix on Shabbos. So just a couple of examples, and I think by the broom and the metal pot, I think that is would not be allowed, because there you have to twist it and you put it tight, you know, you want it tight, you don't want it to happen again, so you twist it tight and you put it tight, and that's not considered just, you know, easy effort. That would not be allowed, even though the pot was, maybe you could say the pot was somewhat functional. If you say the pot was not considered somewhat functional, like some place can mamashma that it's mederaisa, then we don't have such a leniency anyways, even if you say, oh, it's easy to put back together. If the broom is not considered functional and the pot is not considered functional, which it seems as if the place can are assuming, then for sure that would not be allowed. But even by something that is considered somewhat functional, if it requires no effort, then we'll let you put it back. Just to give a few examples, but just first to say an example that somebody asked me a couple months ago. They have a chair, a reclining chair, in their house on Shabbos. You all know this person. And they have a reclining chair, and they have a handle on the bottom, and then you lift the handle, and then the chair moves back, and you know, it leans back. So that handle comes off, and now it's broken. That handle, it comes off. She tried to explain it to me how it was, but then I went to their house and I saw it, and the handle goes off very, very easily. You just put it right back, it falls off all the time. The second even someone touches it, you know, by mistake, it comes off. So it's very simple to put it back. Okay, it's unfortunate that it's very simple to take off also, but it's very simple to put back. That chair is obviously somewhat functional. even without the ability to lean back. Maybe the handle is not somewhat functional, but the chair, we're dealing with the chair over here. So the chair is somewhat functional, for sure. So they just can't lean back. So since it's just simply just put the handle right back on, so I told them that it's permitted, because that is this leniency, that if something that's somewhat functional before, so it's only usher to fix, midrabanan on Shabbos, and if it requires very little effort, it's loose, and it just plop it back on, then that is allowed to be done on Shabbos. Just another couple of examples as far as this is, let's say you have glasses, you know, a person has glasses, and there's soft metal glasses that are very easy to just bend back into shape, or you just plop, you know, you just press the lenses back in very easily. So if it's something that's just very easy to put back, and it is somewhat functional without it, the person technically, if they want to look at something, they could take that lens and just, you know, and use it over there. You know, it's still considered broken because they can't use it long term like that, but it is somewhat functional without it. So if it's easy to just pop back in, then it's not a problem. If it's stiff glasses that really needs to be bent back in the shape, then the Pais can tell us that's not allowed, even though it's only also midrabanan. But that would not be allowed. The broom, we say, because the broom the place can say is not considered functional whatsoever. It seems like it's not considered an option, you know, to bend down on my hands and knees on the dirty floor and use the broom. That's what it seems to hold. Sorry? Yeah, but that's not the normal way we fix it. Since we suspect that you may come to tighten it, that's a chashash by Baina as well, that you may come to tighten it, and that's the normal way of usage to put it tight. So even though you personally are willing to go put it loose, we say that you don't have such a heter. Something that is normal to be put loose, we'll see shortly, maybe next class, that will be permitted. But something that's normal to put in tight, that's not allowed, even if you personally put it in loose.
But if the broom is just loose, can you tighten it so that it doesn't fall off?
That I would think so. That I don't think, it's not considered broken, it's still very usable. I would imagine that's not a problem. Let me get back to you as far as that. Just one last halacha, and then I'll take some more questions after the class is over, and we'll discuss Bez Hashem next class. I want to finish Makom Patish next time. One last example is plunging a toilet. Plunging a toilet. Is a person allowed to plunge a stuffed toilet on Shabbos? So this is actually discussed by many, many, many Paiskim, and the psak from the different paiskim vary. That those that say it's permitted, that they say that's considered an external problem, which we didn't even get a chance to get to today, something that's an external problem as far as tags and things like that, we'll get to separately, but an external problem is not a problem. So those that say, oh, but the toilet is fine, it's just there's an external problem stuffing it up. So there are those that say it's allowed. There are those that say that it's not allowed. There are those that say it is not allowed. Who's that? Rabbi Yashiv and Amdis and Karelis. They say it's not allowed. Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Orbach says that it's allowed if you really need to. Meaning, what does it mean if you really need to? If you really need to, meaning that Shabbos is almost over and I have another bathroom in the house, and so what's the big deal? For the rest of Shabbos, I'll tell my family, use the other toilet. I'll stuff it. Of course, we need to unstuff it, but the question is if I need to do it on Shabbos. So, but if it's Friday night, and I only have one other toilet, or this is my toilet in the guest room, and my guests are here for the whole Shabbos, so then Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach would say that it is allowed. There are those that make three. Some say it's totally mutter, some say it's totally aser. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach says it depends, if you really need to, then you'd be allowed to. There are those that say, I heard from the name of Ravadi Yosef, says that if water is that could go down slowly, then you are allowed to, but if it's totally stuffed, then you're not allowed to. I heard somebody else that another Pesach said that if you need to just do the plunger once or twice, so then that's not a major stuff, so then you're allowed to. But if you need to do a lot of times, then it's not allowed. Not very practical halacha, because how do you know? You know, either once or twice, I'm like, okay, that didn't work. Okay, on Shabbos, you have to be extra careful, or tell your kids to be extra careful. In a case, I think, if obviously the plunger is not muksa, if you're allowed to do it, then the plunger is not muksa. If you hold it's totally forbidden, then the plunger is muksa. But of course, if it's mutter to do, so then the plunger is not muksa. But that is the rundown of the halachas as far as plunging a stuffed toilet. I would say, if you want to go with the Shlomo Zalman Orbach and the Minchas Yitzchak, you'd be allowed to, especially assuming if it's, you know, trickling down a little bit, and if you really suspect that it only needs to be done, you know, a few times, it's nothing major, then you would be allowed to do it if you really need to. And again, it will depend on how many bathrooms you have in the house, and what time it is, how many people you have. So that's as far as that. And in regards to other halachos, with Mark Lepatis, Bez Hashem will continue next week. Also, we'll have to get to clapping and beating on the table on Shabbos. Those are all using playing musical instruments, swimming, alarm clocks, taking off challah on Shabbos, snapping fingers. We'll get to all those halachos and tags and things like that. Bez Hashem, next time I want to finish Makapatish next week, but next time Bez Hashem.